Beautiful day outside, a little chilly, but it's going to warm up. Spring's here. It's part of it. It's part of Tennessee, your March weather. You're snowing one day, frost the next, and 70 the next. Part of it. Anyway, welcome to Sunday school. After last week's lesson and listened to that prayer that Christ prayed for the disciples. Shortly after that, of course, Christ died on the cross. And the disciples had the job of starting the New Testament church, as we have it today, as close as we can account what the Bible tells us to do. We don't add to the Bible. We don't take away from it. We literally take what it says. And I've got some lessons I did years ago on the New Testament church and what it really is to us. What does it really mean to be a New Testament church? So we're going to look at that today. And I've got a series of lessons on that too. And it goes on and talks in depth about our church today. And it's going to show us, I think, why Buffalo Ridge and the Sunday school program is what it is, and this church and what it stands for over 200 and what, 40, is it close to 45 this year? 245, I don't remember, 244, 245, 245 years of preaching the gospel. Well, it's exactly what Christ set up and told the disciples to do, and he was praying for them. And now here we are today, some 2,000 years past that, plus 250 years in this church, or 245 years in this church, being established in this part of the world. So to look back and see what you ask yourself, why is this church what it is? And my grandson asked me the other day, he says, Paul, how are we going to see this church grow in the years to come? He's 15 and he's already awakened to the fact of seeing some of his friends hit and miss and not serious about engaging and studying and understanding and digging into God's Word. And friends at school, he goes to a homeschool situation, but they have out of the house once or twice a week. But he sees kids that come from different churches that are as not as committed, if we want to say it that way, or some people say we're too rigid, but as an independent, fundamental New Testament church, we're doing what the Bible tells us to do. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Danny, come and see, start us up today.
Well, good morning, y'all. Good to see you today. I've lost it. Hello, hello. There we go. Okay. It's good to see y'all today. And just a beautiful day, like Steve said. We've got a wonderful day out here that God has given us, and we thank him for every one of them. He's good every day, and his mercies are fresh new every day. I would like to say I'm glad to have Dave and Mrs. Yoder with us this morning, one of our missionaries, and just good to have them with us in person. So with that being said, welcome. And we hope you enjoy the services today. Also, Dennis and Donna Mann is back with us today. And I had to come and ask them their name again because I can't remember anything for one or two days anymore without forgetting it. But it's good to have y'all back with us today also. and the rest of you are home folks. The ladies back here on the back row, they've been out for about a month or so, not been here together, but we're glad to have them back today also. So things are looking up. Class is looking good. And so let's just go over a few announcements, and then we will let Steve get started. Okay, in the evening service today, we're going to have Kevin Brown, who's with the Armed Forces Baptist Missions, and Kevin will be here with us tonight and give us some information on what they're doing. Also, after the evening service, there'll be a greeter ministry in the Berean classroom down the hallway. So if you're part of that ministry, that's at 7:30. On Tuesday, March 26th, this coming week, there will be a 6 to 8 p.m. churchwide Easter outreach. And so if you can, please come out to that, and we will go out in the community and give out some invitations for Easter service next Sunday. And then also we'll do that again on Thursday from 6 to 8. So we want to reach the community for Christ. We want to be able to know that they're welcome. And that will be a good chance for you to serve the Lord and meet the people that you would go out with and have good fellowship in that. Also, next Saturday, there will be a 7 a.m. men's prayer meeting in the Berean classroom down the hallway. So that's on Saturday at 7 a.m. We'll go ahead and talk about Easter Sunday next Sunday. It'll be a little different than a normal Sunday. We're going to have a 7 a.m. sunrise service out here in the courtyard between the chapel and the auditorium. And if the weather doesn't permit that, we'll meet over in the Family Life Center for that sunrise service. At 9 a.m., won't be the 8:45 meeting, it'll be at 9 a.m., there will be a full service here in the auditorium, nurseries included, the preschool, and the first through the fifth grade classes. Normally we have Sunday school at 10 a.m., but we will not this Sunday. We will have another full service at 11 a.m. And so that being a sunrise service at 7 a.m., a full service at 9 a.m., and then a full service at 11 a.m. And that will be the Easter morning services, no Sunday school. Also, on Easter evening service, we will observe the Lord's Supper. So, y'all remember this, and there's a lot more in the bulletin. You can just read down below that of things that are coming beyond that, but we won't take the time to go over that this morning. I'd like to say a little bit about the sick, and we have condolences to Lisa Sizemore. I don't know if a lot of y'all know her or not, but her and her husband Scotty usually sit up in the balcony, and her brother passed away this week. His name was Dean Sparks, and he passed away on March 16th down in Sparta, North Carolina. So keep Lisa in your prayer. I know that Teresa and her work together sometimes. So keep her in prayer. Also, the sick, I did ask Phil this morning. He says that Debbie is having to have some units of blood to build her back up, and she's supposed to get a white cell blood count this coming Wednesday, bone marrow. So just pray for her on Wednesday. And she's one of the folks that is dealing with cancer in our group, and we have some others that are dealing with that terrible disease. It's a horrible disease, but God's good. Also, we still have our class members that are out, Ron and Wanda over here. Also, Joe Shaw is not here this morning. I'm assuming Pat was not good enough for... He's here? Okay. Okay, Joe's somewhere else then. All right. Also, we'd like to remember them and all the shut-in people that not able to be here. They would love to be, but they're not here. But let's pray for them also. There's a lot of them sick. So does anyone else have a request that they could share with us by an uplifted hand? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, for your blessings to us. God, for your mercies, for all these things that you give to us. And Lord, many of them we will never, ever know what you've done for us in a day. And Lord, we just thank you for it. And God, we would ask that you be with our services this morning. You would bless Brother Steve as he comes, God. And Lord, he's already said that he's got some things laid on his heart. Father, I pray that you will give him, Lord, the unction to bring that to us, God, and help us to understand more about your word. And then, Father, we pray also this morning for our pastor as he'll come at the 11 a.m. Service, God, that you will give him the message that you would have him deliver, and Father, that your name would be glorified. And Lord, that if there be a person, Lord, that's on these grounds today, if they would hear your voice and hear that tug in their hearts, God, may they surrender their lives to you and be saved today. Lord, we again pray for all these sick folks that are among us, and God, for these that are having tests and surgeries and things that are going on in their lives. Lord, touch them, I pray, and pray that you'll just receive glory for it all. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Danny. So the first century church, as we will start this thing, I took this class in the first year Bible college, I guess, is a curriculum that most of the kids get when they're down there. So when I was there, I got this. And it was a good class, and Clarence Sexton wrote this. Of course, we know Clarence passed away here just a few months ago. What a great man he was. His vision got all that started in England, that our teens are going, where my son's at now. That was his vision to start all that. But as we listened to Christ's prayer last week, he prayed that one of the verses talked about the word, for the apostles to understand and have the word, that they understood at that time partly the truth of it all. They were still having some questions about Christ going away and didn't fully understand that, but soon after, within a couple of weeks, and him dying on the cross and then coming back and sharing with them, and the Holy Spirit came down and they went out and started preaching. Well, what did they preach? They preached the word. The word church is used 115 times in the New Testament. Now, what is the church? Is it a building? No, we know it's not. It's not this building. It's a group of people meeting. And most of these churches in that day were just small local churches. A local church, not some big organization off in some other part of the country that you have to answer to. I know I'm talking to Pastor Lasley, and he talks and he can tell us, all of us that have heard the story, about the time that he decided to pull out of Southern Baptist. And I can remember in the church I was in West Virginia pulled out of the American Baptist Association sometime around 1970. I was in service when that happened. And is that me causing that? Am I good here? No, it's off my face. Well, let me check my pocket. Maybe it's... I'm messing with it. There's nothing going on. So we'll see. We'll just go on. That's the devil in these wires. But anyway, I forgot where I was at now. But anyway, the local church was organized at this time with the disciples, and they went out, and we see the prayers that Christ was thanking the Father for these men that they didn't, at that time, they didn't fully understand, but they did some weeks later. And Christ never stopped teaching. That's one of the things. One of the things they teach us in school is to keep repeating teaching. Because the truth about it is, I'm the same way. If I don't hear it two or three times, sometimes I don't get it. I mean, that's just who we are. Our minds sometimes are not in it. But then we hear it again and say, I think I heard that. And then we hear it again. Yeah, I'm getting that now. So that's what Christ did. He taught and talked with his disciples. And these saved men that were following him around and learning the word and learning what he was teaching and preaching. And if we go to Matthew chapter 16, we can see it again starting in verse 13. It said, When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He was wanting to know what people were saying. And they said, well, some say thou is John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? What a question. To question the disciples at this point, and they'd been traveling with him and seeing all the things that he's doing. Whom do you say I am? Whom do we say today in our modern churches across the world, across this great country? Whom do people say that Christ is? Well, number one, he's our Savior. How many people can stand up and say today that Christ is my Savior and tell you how they are saved? What saves them? Well, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to the right church, or I'm doing, or I'm giving, or I. Which is the same thing the devil said one day. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be I. Self-fulfillment, self-things that we do doesn't get us saved. And here's Christ talking to the disciples again and saying, whom do you say that I am? For him to ask that question to men that's been following him, do we need to ask ourselves that? Whom do you say that I am? Are we ready to give an answer to that question? We need to be ready all the time, in season, out of season, whenever, wherever you're at. Take the opportunity, be ready to say, who is Christ? What is he? What's that all about? Of course, Simon Peter answers and says, you know, not all the men raised their hand. And it says, Simon Peter answered and said, jumped up first and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bartholomew, I can't pronounce that word, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm sure that Simon Peter, when he said that, and that come out of his mouth, did he wonder how he knew that? Because that right there is a indication of what was getting ready to happen with the Holy Spirit. And he has a understanding. And Christ told him, he said, you just didn't say that because of who you are or what you know. My Father in heaven gave that to you. An instant, a preview, or whatever you want to call it, of the Holy Spirit touching his mind, giving him understanding that he is the Christ. And then he goes on and says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and this rock, talking about himself, Christ, I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ built the church. The New Testament church, this church, any other church, wherever, whatever, if it's preaching the word, it's Christ's church. We are Christ's family. If you're saved today, you're in the family. We are the church. Brother, is this me or you? Okay, that'd be fine. So anyway, we see here that Christ said the church is going to be, I'm going to build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, here we are, 2,000 years in the future from this, some 2,000 years, and the church is still going on. It's a group, we're a group of baptized believers who voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Not just locally, but we go ye therefore. We send missionaries to go for us. If we're not called to go, excuse me, let me do this.
The wire inside. About yep. The thickness of a human hair, and it yep. Don't take much. Let me cut this off.
Given over to full-time ministry as a preacher.
Praying for them, and they see the answer to prayer. How many times have we prayed?
don't understand this concept that these men were dealing with, that's in the third world part of the world today, that some of our missionaries deals with. Just to get a tin roof on their building is an answer to prayer for them. Independent, fundamental, make our own decisions, how we spend our money, what missionaries we pick up. This first century church was pastor-led. We look at 1 Timothy there the other day, which in the office of a bishop is talked about. And we see in John, a shepherd is given his life for his sheep. Our pastor, any pastor, has given their life to serve us. To serve us. Thank him every chance you get and tell him you're praying for him. And if he preaches something that touches your heart, you need to tell him that. He needs as much encouragement as you do. Don't you like to be thanked for something that you've done? We're independent led. We chose this man, and he serves us the word of God. He's the good shepherd over the sheep. What an example Christ set in that. And 1 Peter talks about taking the oversight thereof. He looks at the elders of the church, the deacons of the church, the business of the church. We have an accountant that does that. Thank him every once in a while for all that they do back here in that office. But we're independent. We are separated as a New Testament local church. I know sometimes it's hard to think about that in the nice facilities that we've got. But we're independent, fundamental. We believe the gospel just as it's written in the Bible. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything from it. We try to be as close as we can be to the King James Version. Praise the Lord for that. Versions confuse. And we don't have that confusion. Now, we're not going to throw anybody out by their nose if they walk in with one. They'll figure it out. The Holy Spirit does a lot of work, and we don't have to say anything. I mean, everybody, you may see a version that, that's not the right one. Well, you need to keep that to yourself and let God take care of that. The Holy Spirit can give unctions to people after a while. Sometimes it takes a little while. God's good, folks. He's give us a good place to worship. This wonderful, wonderful New Testament church that we have. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week. We're going to dig into the measure of the ministry. How do you measure a ministry? Do you measure by how many people's here? Do you measure by how much money's in the bank? I mean, the world looks at different things. We need to look at it like God looks at it. What is the measure of this ministry? We'll talk about that some next week. That way it gives us more understanding of the functions of this New Testament church that we all need to be involved in, that we need to pray for and understand who's what, where, when. I know it's a big auditorium. We have a lot of new visitors and a lot of new faces, and I'm worse than the world with names. But we need to, as a New Testament church, welcome, shake hands. And we have a friendly church, and we know that. A lot of people say it's one of the most friendly churches that they've visited or been to and end up staying. So praise the Lord for Christ and what he did in the beginning, setting up the New Testament church. And here we are doing our best to be a independent, local church, group of believers, baptized believers, teaching in this area, reaching out to the local area, reaching out to the world. And that's exactly the way Christ set it up then. Praise the Lord for what we have, folks. A lot of churches don't have a Sunday night, don't have a Wednesday night, barely have a Sunday morning. We've been blessed, and thank the Lord for it. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love, and Lord, I thank you for what you've done on the cross. Praise your high and holy name for that shed blood that saves us all. Lord, it's not what we do or how we act or where we go. It's what you did on the cross. That shed blood that saves us from our sin. Lord, thank you for this local church. Pray for our pastor this morning. Help him preach the word, teach the word. We pray that it touches somebody's heart that they may be saved today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.